You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Lucky ones, I went down when they was doing them turnarounds, and I still did more time on my sentence than they were doing on big sentences, you know. And that's before they built all the prisons. But changed my life. And so I know where you are. I know where you've been. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and I ain't never going back. Because of Him. Only because of Him. Like the song says, because He holds my hand. That's why I'm not going back. So I want you to think about that as I give my testimony and talk to you a little bit tonight. Am I one of the 75 that get to go back? Or am I one of the 25 that get to stay out a little while? Think about that. That's real right there. That's real. Y'all just got out, didn't you? Most of you. Just got out. I can remember when I just got out. Wasn't easy. So I'm going to read this story. Hope you find a little humor in it. I'm going to tie it into some real life stuff. It's about Chipper the Parakeet. I laughed when I read this a while back, and I related it to some things that were going on in my life and that had went on in my life. It says, Chipper the Parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Sound like a bad drug deal, don't it? Y'all ever had that rap on the door, right? Probably why some of you are here. The problem began when his owner decided to clean Chipper's cage with a vacuum cleaner. Oh, y'all getting the picture? He removed the attachments from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage just as the phone rang. When he turned to answer, he had barely said hello when Chipper got sucked in. He gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened the bag. And there was Chipper, still alive but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, he grabbed him and he paced to the bathroom, turned on the water, and held him under the running water. He's going to help the brother out, right? Then realizing that poor Chipper was soaked and shivering, he did what any compassionate bird owner would do. He reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chipper never knew what hit him. He was stunned. When asked how the bird was recovering, his owner replied, "Well, Chipper don't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's hard not to see why, right? Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart, isn't it? Maybe you can relate to Chipper. You know, I see two things going on in this story. First, I see the victim. That's Chipper, right? Man, life is good one moment, and then the next moment he's sucked in. He's in the middle of something. It's going on with him, and he didn't have a choice in the matter, right? Have you ever been the victim? Have you ever played that victim card way too long? Yeah. I can tell you a time in my life where I did that. You know, I was 23 at the time. My wife was 21. And, I was working on an oil field job away from the house, and I wasn't innocent by any means. I'd done drugs and alcohol since I was 15 years old. But I was trying to get my act right. I got married 3 years prior to that when I was 19. She was 17. Had a baby girl, and life was kind of semi-kosher for me. Got a call in the middle of the night. I was working in Gonzales down by San Antonio, living in Bryan College Station, Bryan Police Department. I said, "Oh, Lord, what they done dug up on me now?" You know, when you get them calls, what they done found now. Because I'd I've been a lot of places and done a lot of things already. I said, Mr. Southern, your wife and daughter have been in a car accident and they're flying them to John Seeley Hospital in Galveston. You know, I wasn't a Christian. I know God. Didn't believe in God. Didn't believe there was a God. Woke my supervisor up and he drove me to Galveston that night. Got there by daybreak and I can remember for the first time in my life saying a prayer, and it was real simple, just God, let them be okay, to somebody I didn't even believe in. I didn't believe it was a God, but all of a sudden I wanted a little help from Him. Ever been there? When a crisis hit, you don't believe, but you're sure hoping He's real right now? Yeah. That's where I was. I got there, I found my daughter in the hospital. She had a cut on her head. And she was okay. My 3-year-old daughter Jennifer, but my wife, I went down to the emergency room. I couldn't find her anywhere. And they finally got me to sit in this little waiting room, and the phone rang. And I thought, that's strange. I picked it up. It was my mom. She said, Wilma, which was my wife, didn't make it. Love of my life, high school sweetheart. Going to get me out of this craziness, this life of crime that I got involved in. Blew up all in a moment. All in a moment. Heartbroke. Been heartbroke before? Mad, angry. Shook my fist at the ceiling, cursed God. You know, why'd you take her? Why not me? I'm the outlaw here, not her. You know? I made a vow that day that I would never hurt like that again. That from that moment on, I'd be the one dishing out the pain, not taking it. And you know what? The enemy let me walk that out. Because for a bunch of years after that, I was the one that dished out the pain. I'm not proud of that, but that's real. And it landed me with a 527981 number. Y'all hear me? Anybody been there? Done that? Become a hater. Anybody here been a hater before? Hated everybody, everything. Even hated myself at times. Can't get no peace in that situation. And I was the victim. Somebody done me wrong, so I had the right to lash out. To protect me. Am I talking to anybody in here? Yeah. Or you can look at the other side of the fence in this story. You can look at the pet owner, we'll call him. Now all he's trying to do is fix the situation, isn't he? Now I've been in situations in my life where I tried to fix stuff. And the more I tried to fix it, the further south it went. Anybody ever been there? I mean, when they say control freak, I raise both of my hands because I like to control things. Because if I control it, you can't hurt me. Am I talking to you? Yes, if I can control it, you can't hurt me. And so I went from being the victim to controlling everything. And ain't neither one of them from God. He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Then all our being is in Him. All of our being is in Him. You got to relinquish your control to Him. Once you get that, life is sweet. Not easy, it's sweet. Because there's still trouble. Life is a four-letter word, by the way. It can get tough. It can get tough. But, I mean, it's just a real deal, right? It gets tough. You can either go medicate, which will lead you to the penitentiary. And there's a lot of different ways to medicate. You can do it through drugs, alcohol, sex. There's a lot of ways to medicate to make me feel better about me. Y'all hear me? There's a lot of different ways to do that. Or you can run to the healer, the great physician, and be healed. His name is Jesus. The quicker you get there, the quicker you can get healed. Amen? You know, after my wife died, I full-blown drug addiction. I couldn't make up my mind whether I wanted to be a heroin addict or a cokehead, so I just did both. You know? I'd end them speedballs. I'd mix that heroin and cocaine together. I ain't proud of that, but that's who I was. I'm being real with you tonight because I know where you come from. Y'all hear what I'm saying? For the next 8 years of my life, I was strung out big time. Began to deal drugs, sling drugs on the street, support my habit. Kept it in the closet for a long time, worked at Oilfield for a cover. Dealed at night, keep my habit up. Then it become a full-time life of crime. I got as much addicted to the lifestyle as I did the drugs. Anybody ever done that? Pocket full of money and people following you around. Craziness. It all come tumbling down in the 1989 for me. I got busted for sales and possession of heroin in Andrews, first one ever in Andrews County. And I was in the jail cell there, first cell block, and I was 31 years old. I've been running from God a long time. Judge had been pretty consistent that day. Everybody that went downstairs, you give them a dime. Everybody come back up kicking and screaming, cussing. One young man come back in. His name was Ruben Salcedo, young Hispanic boy. He's 21 years old. And I heard somebody holler from the cell block, "Where'd you get, Ruben?" He said, "I got a dime," and he's whistling, happy. And I thought, my sick mind, you know, being the drug addict that I was and in the life of crime that I was, I said, "Man, that dude has got a mustache up in here in the jail. Ain't nobody that happy in jail. He's got to be high. Ain't nobody that happy in jail." Y'all hear me? You ever thought like that? So I got him over in the corner and did my thing, you know, sweated him. Where's your stash at, man? Ante up. I want my cut. And he just shook his head at me and he patted his chest right here and he said, "Stevie Ray, the only thing I have stashed is Jesus," and he's right here. Man, most people had to give them some hope. That really just made it more hopeless for me because, man, I done wrecked a lot of things in my life, a lot of folks. I ain't proud of that, but that's the reality. So I walked off and, you know, I shook my fist at God and cursed God. And I just, what would He want with me, right? Well, I just kind of opened the door for Reuben. You know how Christians are sometimes. They'll, like a heat-seeking missile, they'll just keep on. Old Reuben, he kept coming by my house every day. You know what I mean? I say house, right? My cell. He kept coming by there every day. Want to read me scriptures. I said, "Bump it on down, Reuben. I ain't about that, man. You got the wrong dude. Go next door. Don't mess with me. I'm going to light you up if you keep coming." But he kept coming. Thank God he kept coming. He kept coming every day, every day. I wouldn't let him read to me, but I'd run him out, you know. And about third day, I seen this dude ain't going to leave me alone. So I said, "Let me tell you something. I'll make a deal with you. If you'll leave me alone, I'll go to that Bible study you've been wanting me to go with you. If you leave me alone after I go. But I'm tired of you coming up by my house." He forgot to tell me it was in Spanish. So we go upstairs to this Spanish-speaking Bible study, and I don't understand what they're saying, because, you know, all of my Spanish vocabulary is in the drug world and out there on that oil field. It ain't wholesome words, you know what I'm saying? But I felt something in that place, something that I had never felt before. It kind of freaked me out at first, but I know now it was the Holy Spirit. And he passed me this little folded-up piece of notebook paper. And it said, "Steve," just a few short words, says, "Steve, now's the time." And it had a scripture, Romans 8:29. So I fumbled through that little pocket testament, that little Gideon testament that he gave me, and I was able to read it, and it said, "For those that God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be the firstborn among many brethren." And it's like a light came on for me. I knew in that moment that God had been pursuing me, that I belonged to Him. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I was way cloudy. And it's like that the lights came on. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't believe in God. But I knew something was happening to me. So I just kind of kneeled down there. Of course, them brothers, they jumped on me, you know, and laid hands on me. And I just said, God, I don't know what I'll be. I'll just be for you. That's all I said. And he's honored that prayer. And I've been for him ever since then. Been going to jails and prisons. And you know, the story wasn't over there. I did the crime, so I went and did the time. And my time in prison wasn't no picnic. I did time back in the 80s. And they make you work back then on them whole squads. It wasn't, you got to turn out, you know. And, you know, I had to box a little bit, protect my territory. I didn't want to, but you had to. But it wasn't no picnic, but God seen me through it. He seen me through it. I got out. I didn't have nothing. Nothing. I'd lost my family, lost my daughters, my wife, my job. I didn't have nothing. Let me tell you how good God is, how faithful He is. He restored my marriage. I remarried to my second wife after my first wife died. Been divorced for 5 years. He restored that marriage. That's the first thing He did. Second thing He did, I went to a church. I tried to find a church in Andrews to go to. And because I fell out from there, everybody knew me. Every time I'd walk into a church, and this ain't nothing against church folks, it's just being real. They just turn around and look at me like, what are you doing here, boy? You know, you don't belong in this congregation. That's sad, but it's the truth. I finally found this one little church out on the Seminole Highway in City of Refuge, and I walked out there, and I walked in on a Wednesday night, and there's only a handful of people out there on Wednesday night, and this lady come up to me, about an elderly lady. Her name was Connie. She used to work for a company that I worked for, and she just, I'd done been to five or six churches, about ready to give up and just throw it all away, you know. You know how you get discouraged after a while. She just wrapped her arms around me and said, I've been waiting on you to come, and I love you, and I've been praying for you for 5 years. I said, what do you mean you've been praying for me for 5 years? See, you used to come in that office, and one day you come in that office, and I called my friend, and she pointed her out over, this lady named Dolores, and I said, and God spoke to me and said, you belong to Him, and I've been praying you into the kingdom ever since then. Power of prayer. Well, I melted down right there. I knew I was home then. You know what I'm saying? He got a place for all of us. He didn't bring us this far to drop us and leave us. Amen? I got a little song that I want to sing here, and I want to invite you to come here in a minute, but I don't want to sing it. Forgive me for saying it, because we'd all run out here if I sang. but the bottom line is, do you want to be part of that 75 or part of that 25? And I'm telling you, they got a bed for you. Back up in there if that's where you want to go. Or Jesus got a place for you if that's where you want to go too. I'm just being real with you. What do you want to do? Now's a good time to choose. What better time than now, right? At some point you gotta make that decision. Because I played all them games, and I've been through that revolving door, and sooner or later you gotta say enough is enough. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. You know, when it's all said and done, in the end, the only thing that's going to matter is who you loved and who loved you. That's the only thing that's going to matter. I heard this song a while back. I used to call it my theme song when I was outlawing. But you'll recognize it. But when I heard it, it was a reflection of my life. And the end of it, the bottom line is, are you going to let somebody love you? That's the whole deal with Jesus. All He wants to do is love you. So I'm going to ask them to play this song, and I'm going to ask you to come, even if you want to while it's playing. I want you to come. Maybe you need to invite Him into your life. Maybe you need a renewal. Maybe you say, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I've been there and done that. It's time to get some help. Time to quit running. Amen. Listen to these words real close. Let them sink in. Getting no younger.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.